to be here. Have not been up here in about 6 years by myself without my wife, preaching a sermon at Glenville. Been some other places, but not here. I decided to do something different today. You know, when you first become a lay pastor, you kind of preach on a lot of your strengths. Today I decided to preach on my weakness. And you know, the Apostle Paul set a good example. He said when he was first an apostle, he used to start out his letters by, "I, Paul, an apostle." But by the end of his life, he put, "I, Paul, a servant of God." He went from being the mighty apostle to a servant, trying to follow his footsteps. Let's pray. Lord, help us in this important area, which is controlling our tongues, placing us a desire to want to be pleasing with our mouths. Keep falsehood and gossip from entering in our hearts and exiting from our lips. May you reign in our conduct and our attitudes, O Lord. And may the words we say be pleasing and edifying and useful for building up the body of Christ. For it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. The title of our message today is Tongues of Fire. You know, usually in the summer, when it's free, amen, that's when I like to go to the Cleveland Public Zoo. Now, at the zoo, you'll find a host of animals, lions, tigers, bears, elephants, apes, etc., and etc. And these animals, they have what we call trainers. Now, the trainer's job is to feed the animals, and it's to groom the animals. You know, and while it may seem like these animals are under complete control, I want to submit to you that what really controls these animals are those high fences and those deep pits. That's what keeps the animals away from the visitors. Amen? You know, every now and then, a person or even a trainer is killed by one of those animals. The animals, even though some of them may seem small, can be very deadly. Conversely, in the book of James, it speaks of another small but deadly part of our body, which is called the tongue. Now, the tongue, it is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Yes. Consider that a forest is set afire by just a small spark. Scripture says that all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, sea creatures are being tamed, but no one can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil, Scripture says, full of deadly poison. You know, the tongue is also like a fire, Scripture says. A world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the person, the whole person, and sets the course of one's life on fire, and it is of itself, as Gloria said, set on fire by hell. Scripture suggests us in the book of James to take ships as an example. Although they're large and steered by strong winds, they're controlled by a very small rudder, which tells them that wherever the pilot wants it to go, he can steer it with that rudder. My friends, the tongue has the power of life and death. With the tongue, we praise our Lord Jesus Christ. Conversely, with the tongue, we curse human beings. And sometimes, like the wild animals, with our tongues, we can even become deadly. Scripture says that the person that we're cursing with that very tongue was made in the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth comes blessings and curses. This should not be, Scripture says. Why? Consider this. Can fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? Can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? No. Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. My friends, God set the salt spring apart from the fresh water for a reason. And I want to submit to you today that God set the Christian and their tongue and our tongues apart for a reason, His purpose, which is to glorify God, to present the gospel, and to save a dying world in need of a Savior. This morning, I want to give you and me, as I said, this is more for me than I think it is for you, some practical tips that will help us tame our tongue. The stakes are high. Your words can either bring life or they can bring death to your spouse, to your children, to your parents, to to your neighbors, to your siblings, to your relatives, to your church. Now, someone once coined the phrase, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. Nothing could be further from the truth. Broken bones heal a lot faster than words said by a careless mouth. Many of us today, and some of us even sitting here right now, are still wounded by words that have been said to us in the past by someone who has been careless with their mouth. You see, the tongue can either build the kingdom of God or it can burn the kingdom of God. Simply by what comes out of our mouth, we can destroy what God is trying to accomplish, or we can build it up. Amen? Okay. So this morning, I want to ask you, is your tongue productive or is it destructive? You know, our scripture text this morning comes from the book of James. And the book of James has been labeled by scholars and theologians as a practical book for Christian living. James speaks about more about the tongue than any book in the Bible. And if I want to submit to you, James is a practical book about Christian living, then there must be something essential about living the Christian life and our tongue and being effective for Jesus Christ. The Bible goes on further to say that the tongue is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. This tongue is capable of edifying or building up, and it's also capable of burning down. Although it's a small part of the body, it is capable of accomplishing huge and enormous things. In fact, in Chicago in the year 1858, the Great Chicago Fire was started by a cow knocking over a lantern. Now, what seemed like a small and insignificant event at the time consumed an entire city. What seems like harmless words that come out of our mouth can sometimes destroy families. They can destroy marriages. They can destroy friendships. They can destroy countries. And they can destroy even churches. A lot of people wouldn't be in the same place that we are today had we kept a tight rein over our tongue. A lot of people would still be friends today if we'd have kept our mouth glued shut. A lot of homes would still be together today if couples would have said words that were building and edifying instead of harmful and tearing down. Many adult lives here today would be shaped differently if they weren't victims of verbal abuse. You see, we in the church, we got a problem. We try to incorporate the ways of the world into the church. See, in the world or out there in the secular world, we have the freedom of speech. Okay, we can say what we want, when we want, how we want, and where we want. We think we have the right to speak our minds. And there's nothing wrong with speaking your mind, as long as that mind is under the control of the Holy Spirit and it's been transformed by the Word of God. You know, even the Bible says that we and of ourselves cannot control our tongues. That's why Paul says, in order to get control of our tongues, we must die daily to self and allow the Lord to rule in our lives. When our tongue is under the control of God, we will speak God's words. But when our tongue is under the control of the flesh or the devil, we may speak God's words for a minute or two, but eventually we will speak the devil's words. And we can see this in Scripture in Matthew chapter 16, 23. And that's where Jesus is traveling with his disciples. And he's talking to them. He's warning them about his impending death. And Peter says to him, Lord, far be it from you that this should happen. And immediately Jesus looks at Peter and says, get behind thee, Satan. Now, Satan wasn't standing there. Peter was. And Peter wasn't possessed. But Peter had allowed his words to be used by Satan to speak his language to Jesus. Proverbs 13:3 says, "He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction." So this morning, I want to ask you again, is your tongue productive or is it destructive? Is it building the kingdom of God or is it burning the kingdom of God? Now, I want to go through a few signs that show what a destructive tongue looks like. A destructive tongue speaks idle or careless words. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, that we will give an account for every word that we say on judgment day. And the word idle in the Hebrew means lazy, free from work. You know, when we speak, we can't just toss out words. For them to be idle, for them to be careless, it means that they're not producing fruit. And any word that does not produce fruit, I'm going to be held, and you will be held accountable for by our Lord Jesus Christ. Other destructive words, gossip. Now, what is a gossip? We all know that. A gossip is a person who is the devil's broadcasting station. He don't need CNN, or he gets a gossip, and they do all his work. Paul says that someone who gossips, Paul describes him as a busybody. Someone who doesn't necessarily have a fulfilling life of their own, so they take turns talking about and ruining other people's lives. How do I know if I'm gossiping? Well, here are five practical questions to ask ourselves before sharing information. Number one, is it true? Two, is it necessary? Three, is it beneficial? Four, do I have permission to share it? And number five, is my motive pure? If you can answer yes to all five questions, then feel free to go ahead and share it. Remember this, though. The opposite of a gossip is a person who can keep a confidence. Next, a destructive tongue is one who likes to boast. Watch out. We as a people can find ourselves boasting about any and everything. Take the birth of a child, for instance. The conversation might go something like this. Susie was born to the proud family of the Hayeses. She was 19 inches long and she weighed 7 pounds and 3 ounces. 2 days later, the Johnson family gives birth to Connie. She was 20 inches long and weighed 8 pounds and 2 ounces. Then the boasting or the competition begins. About the fourth or fifth month, Susie's mom goes over to Connie's mom. She just happens to mention, Susie's begun pulling up on furniture. Connie's mom then says, "Oh, child, that ain't nothing." Connie's not only pulling herself off on furniture, but she's also starting to crawl. Then a couple months later, Connie's dad happens to drop the fact that Connie has started to walk at 9.5 months. Then Susie's mom delivers the news that Connie's not only walking, but she's planning on running her first marathon in about 3 weeks. Then next, you get to about the 15-month mark. I have kids. I've been there. I've done all that. You get to about the 15-month mark, and Connie's dad informs Susie's mom that Connie's speaking clearly at 15 months. Well, Connie's dad says, that ain't nothing. Connie's not only speaking clearly, but she'll be up here in Glenville giving a sermon next week. All through school, this goes on and on. Connie got an A. Susie got an A+. Boasting, boasting, boasting. You know, and we're a lot like that. We boast about where we live. We boast about what kind of car we drive. We boast about what kind of job we have, our titles, how much money we make, the vacations we can take. We boast about the important people that we know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. My Lord, why do we do all that? Remember this, though. Humility is the opposite of boasting. Besides, Scripture warns us not to boast about next year, for we don't even know what tomorrow will bring. Scripture says we should be saying, if it's the Lord's will, then I'll do this or that. The next thing a destructive tongue does, it lies and slanders people. Proverbs 12:22 says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. But those who deal truthfully are God's delight. Now, even sometimes when we consider a little white lie, I don't know how we got to that point, but a little white lie is something that's acceptable. That is an abomination in the sight of God. Now, the word abomination in Hebrews means a disgusting thing. It turns God's stomach. It makes God sick when we lie and slander. You know, we always tell our kids, adults, to always tell the truth. Amen? Even if they think it might get them in trouble, we encourage them. Because you can't even put trust in someone who perpetually lies. How must our Lord think of us sometimes? Swears and curses are the next thing that are destructive to a tongue. You know, if we use our tongue to swear and curse, I want to submit to you, we have a very serious problem. It means that our tongue is still glued tightly to the grip of the enemy. What kind of witness are we when we let our tongue talk like that? Now, I want to ask you something. If I had a cup of water here, filled, and I got bumped, what should come out of this cup?
Water.
Amen. Okay. And if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, and somebody bumps me, somebody talks about me, somebody pushes my button, so to speak, somebody gets in my face, what should come out of me? Holy Spirit. I'm learning that lesson. Amen. Amen. God can't use us when we got a filthy or nasty mouth to effectively witness for people. Speak to me, Lord, on this. Saints, hear this and hear it very clear. We must continually check ourselves. What we're saying, how we're saying it, where we're saying it, why we're saying it. Because when we lose control of our tongue, it corrupts the whole person. And worse yet, we can misrepresent our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I know many a times I've had to hang my head in shame because of something I have said. Therefore, the key to a successful Christian life is to ask God to get a grip, to put a guard over our mouth, over our tongues. It takes God's power to do so. And God takes the power of the tongue seriously. For example, we look at the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah said, I'm a person living among a people of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people who have unclean lips. And an angel, remember, we sing about this. An angel took a tongue and reached into the fire and placed a hot coal on Isaiah's tongue, because there must have been something wrong with Isaiah's tongue as well. And he was to go out and represent God. You know, when the scripture made its port call in Acts chapter 2, the first call that the Spirit made was on the tongue. Tongues of fire. Now, let's have a positive impact on this world. And in order to do so, we must, saints, control our tongues. Now, we want to go to what a productive tongue looks like. A productive tongue exercises profitable silence. Now, the Bible says there's a time and a season for everything under the sun. That's found in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 7. It says that there's a time and season for everything. However, we've turned this thing all around. Oftentimes, we speak when we should be silent, and we're silent when we should be speaking. You know, the Bible, it teaches us that we should be quick to listen and slow to speak. Think about this. Jesus, who is our perfect example, our Lord and Savior, he was placed on trial for heresy. And Jesus was in the right. He had done nothing wrong. Yet, he kept silent. Remember this. If you're quiet, nobody can quote you or misquote you. Nobody can repeat what you never said. A closed mouth gathers no foot. And sometimes it's just best to be quiet. Amen? Another benefit of a productive tongue is it preaches encouragement, or it speaks encouragement. Now, encouragement is someone who builds someone else up. He encourages them, or she encourages them. You can, you know, it's affirming to be encouraged, you know, such as you can do that with your spouse, with your kids. And you can say things like, you did a great job today. Or I could say to my wife, boy, that dinner was good. That chicken don't taste like nobody else's. We could say thank you more often. You look wonderful in that dress or that suit. Guys like to hear that too. You know, we like to hear something like that. Sometimes all a person needs in their life is a little extra dose of encouragement. Such as, you can finish school. Why don't you try out for the school play? You'd make a great class leader. You'd make a great elder. You'd make a great deacon. Next, a tongue that produces encouragement is addicted to witnessing. A tongue that is productive continually wants to build up and expand the kingdom of God. And in order to do so, the gospel must be shared through our tongues. But more than that, the gospel must be lived out with our words combined with our actions that reflect Christ in an appropriate light. You know, a life that has been transformed and cleansed and changed by God should want to tell somebody about it. If you're here today and you've been cleansed by the power of Jesus Christ, go out and tell somebody. Use your tongue. Next, a positive tongue speaks the truth in love. You know, a careful study of God's word indicates that Christ not only spoke to people, but he spoke to them in love. And in doing so, the person that was in error came to the conclusion, on their own, that they were involved in something that was not good, and they changed without Christ having to beat them up with words. He just spoke to them. Paul insists, the Apostle Paul, he says, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am nothing. It's just senseless noise. Next, a positive tongue does not grumble and complain. God is speaking to me here. In the wilderness, the children of Israel experienced some of the greatest manifestations of God that were ever seen to man, known to man. And yet, the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:10 that the Israelites died, some of them, because they were constantly murmuring and complaining. A tongue that is productive and constructive gives praise to God for all that God has done. It gives thanks to God for the very thing, for the very nature of God being God by himself. And this is in the will of Christ. Now, I'm not saying that we're not going to go through some bad situations. I'm not saying that, you know, life is not tough. But I am saying we can find something in the midst of a battle to praise God about. Something in the midst of a trial to praise God about. Next, a tongue that is productive, it makes positive confessions and it speaks wisdom. If you're a Christian and you talk doubt, doubt will conquer you. If you talk failure, failure will conquer you. If you talk sickness, sickness will you'll reap sickness. If you talk weakness, weakness will overtake you. If you talk poverty, you'll move in and out of poverty throughout your life. And if you talk fear, fear will grip you. You talk and you say that your marriage is bad, guess what? It'll get worse. Because as a man speaketh, so is he. We shouldn't use our tongues to glorify a bad situation. Instead, we should think, speak, and act positively, remembering that sowing and reaping principle in Scripture. What we sow, we reap. We should continually praise the Lord and give blessings to His people. I want to share something with y'all. You know, I've been doing this for probably over 10 years. Whenever my kids leave the house, I physically put a blessing on them if I'm there, and my wife as well. When the pastors come up to preach, every single one of them, I bless them. We should continually. Scripture says, I will bless the Lord at all times, and God's praise shall continually be on my mouth. Psalm 34:1. Friends, if you want to see God move in your life, then continually praise God. The Word of God says that God inhabits the praise of His people. Put Him to the test. Let Him move in your life by praising. I want to conclude this message by having you ask yourself some questions. What have I been saying with my mouth? What are the words that are coming out of my mouth lately? Because I want to submit to you that the words that have come out of your mouth have shaped your life. And the word and the life that you're living has been shaped by the words that you and I have said in the past. This is what the Bible says, that death and life are in the power of the tongue. The tongue can kill or it can bring life. It can give hope to a hopeless people and point them to our Lord Jesus Christ. It can make or break a relationship. It can mar or heal your children. It can attract or repel people from the gospel of Jesus Christ. A tongue has the power. Again, the Bible compares the tongue to an unruly evil, straight from the pit of hell. But there's another fire that I'd like to talk to you about in conclusion. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. The fire that comes from the Holy Spirit, the tongue that is submitted to our Lord Jesus Christ. I've heard it said, I'm not a firefighter, but I've heard it said, the best way to fight fire is with fire. The fire that comes out from the Holy Ghost. You know, this fire that comes from the Holy Ghost is an unquenchable fire. I'd like us to ask the Holy Spirit this day to burn out anything that's not of God, anything that's not pleasing this day. Holy Spirit, burn it out of our tongues and our mouths. Help us, Lord God, to restore relationships, friendships, marriages, jobs, co-workers, and most of all, restore this church. Amen and amen.